is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from it's a blustery radio ranch this morning. But this November 14th, 2020, it is that time of the year, so we're thankful for the weather that we're supposed to have in its season, and we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Zach with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul as well. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, Holy Spirit, because you are welcome here as well, and we ask you to join us. We do gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and we welcome you, the Remnant, for joining us from sea to shining sea, whether you're on the internet or the shortwave or the call-in number. And we thank you for joining us. If there's ever been a time, we talk about this, but if there's ever been a time to pray, if there's ever been a time to fellowship with like-minded believers for the encouragement that it brings and for the praise that it brings to our God, the time is now. It is. Well, John, would you open us up in prayer, sir?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us, your people, that are called by your name to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to what's important for your people, the Remnant, to understand. Father, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would show us, just as your word says in the last days, that knowledge would increase, that you would reveal those things that, according to Daniel, would be hidden until the last days. Thank you for this time that we're living in. We're grateful for all of the many blessings that you bestowed upon us, and even in this year, 2020 with all of its trials, tribulations, and testing. Father, your word says we're to be grateful for all things, so we thank you for those trials, tribulations, and testing as well. That your word says refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. Father, we continue to cry out for grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, we continue to lift up our president, Donald J. Who Trump. Father, I ask that even now you give him supernatural strength, energy, vigor, and vitality. That you would cancel any satanic assignments that may have been sent against him and forbid the enemy from operating in his life. Father, I pray you send your ministering angels to minister to him, to give him wisdom, understanding, and discernment. The kind of wisdom that Solomon had. Father, I know that you made him a 5D chess player for a reason, Lord, and it's for this time, in this specific service to you, Lord. Father, send your guardian angels to protect him and his family and all those in positions of authority that seek to restore a God-fearing government. Father, we know that the enemy has set his sights on him. We know that they've pulled out all the stops. We know that they would love nothing more than to take him out. My Father, we also know that if your hand is upon him, that there's nothing that they can do. And Father, we know, because you've given us the example in several books with regarding spiritual warfare, that it is our job as the followers of Jesus Christ to provide the prayer power necessary for the righteous angels to gain the victory as they battle Leviathan in the high places. So I pray you would convict your people to understand the seriousness of the battle that we're in. Father, we continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they turn upon one another and devour one another. And Father, we pray for righteous judgment with regards to those that have perpetrated these wicked, vile, evil acts against your people. And Lord, we know that there's no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we plead that blood over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the window of opportunity you granted us in 2016. And Lord, we just continue to appeal to heaven for you to save America again. Father, we know at some point, according to your word, that this whole mystery Babylon falls. But Lord, we pray for mercy and compassion with regards to the situation that's going on, Lord. We know that there's no way to overcome a Red Sea predicament until you're facing one. And Father, we are facing one. But we stand on the truth, Lord, that greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that you've given us authority as the sons of God to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And Father, the enemy knows that if we have the faith, that the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of us that's born again of the water and the Spirit will overcome the darkness. Bless this time of fellowship this morning, Lord. Bless the men that give of their time, talent, and treasure to continue to get the word out to your people. Bless your people, the remnant, Lord, that faithfully support this ministry. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct me, give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to decisions that need to be made with the ministry as well. We just praise you, and we love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you would like to call in and make a comment or have a question, we'd do our best to accommodate you on that. And saw a little headline this morning, checking the news blurbs on the computer real quick, and
it made me think that, you know, made me see how God's word continues to come true. How we've been praying for the things that were done in the dark, the things that are done in secret, to be brought to light. Because the word says that the things done in dark will be brought to light. And just as simple as Nancy Pelosi was planning like a welcome dinner for some of the new Democrats that got elected, and had a nice big dinner planned and all of them going to be together. And see, they don't think about, or they do think about it, but they apply it to people like you and me. And to one of the quotes was to the little people, you know, these COVID restrictions, this socialist distancing. See, that's for the little people. That's not for the Democrats that want to plan a nice big Thanksgiving type party and fancy dinner. And that's what they were doing. She had this big dinner planned, but you know, pictures leaked out of even just setting up the tables and getting prepared for that, and the media outlash that that even Miss Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat left was getting, the negative media publicity. Basically, they canceled their dinner, and this was just literally yesterday. And the quotes that were in there, oh, the White House physician, the Office of Government Physician, something crazy, had signed off and said that it was okay, and we were distancing and blah blah blah. But what it really comes down to is that the evil ones in the land, they put their laws, their guidelines, their directives, they're addressed to us, to the people, to rule, to try to rule and reign over the people. But where maybe last year, or even in the years past, that would fly, you might say, that they would get away with it. They're not getting away with it like they used to. And I say praise the Lord. It's not a complete upheaval and overturn, at least in this aspect of the country, but little things like that, I think, are they're an encouragement to me, and they should be an encouragement to the people when we see that, hey, what the enemy has done in the past and has worked in the past is not working anymore.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I think one encouraging thing is that, I don't know if you saw any of the pictures yet, but for the rally that's planned today in support of President Trump in the Devil City, it appears that thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands of people are going to show up for that, including major convoys of trucks. And I think it's important that the truck drivers have all basically said that they're going to get together and shut down the country if there's not justice with regards to all of this voter fraud. So to me, that's somewhat encouraging. But we all know that this is a spiritual battle, and it's being fought in high places. And really the only way to gain victory is to fall upon our faces, cry out, and ask God for grace and mercy with regards to the situation that we're in.
Amen to
which
that.
Which is why we called for fasting and prayer starting today at noon and going through tomorrow at noon. And I've already received quite a bit of confirmation from people who saw the posting on the website or heard about it and agreed and said that they would participate as well. So we're calling for you, anyone who's listening that can. Obviously, there's some that have health impairments and things like that, but we're calling for those that can to fast and pray unceasingly from noon today till noon tomorrow.
Amen.
Well, I saw a headline this morning on WorldNet Daily, and it was Dr. Fauci, which I still even have a hard time pronouncing that guy's name. Whatever his name is, but Dr. Fauci, now is the time to do what you're told. And, you know, it hit me, and it's like so much of that and what is going on is basically it doesn't boil down to one thing or another. It boils down to their policy, and they just don't like people not doing what they're told to be doing. If you're told to wear a mask in a store, they want you to wear a mask. If they're told to do this, they want you to do it. They want you to do it without questioning. You know, it was one of the things we had an article a couple weeks ago in one of the last Dragon Slayer newsletters on herd and range management, and that's one of the things that we talked about was, you know, there's those fence jumpers, those cows, those range cows that don't want to do what they're told, that don't want to they don't want to go where you want them to go. And, you know, that's what they do when they cull the herd. And I think right now that there's just a lot of culling going on. They're trying to figure out, who's going to do this and who's not going to do this, who's willing to comply with this, who's not willing to comply with this. You know, who's going to be the strays and the stragglers and the ones that are going to give them problems. And how far can we push them? How far can we push these people? And what are they willing to accept as the new normal? And basically, I mean, if they're already talking that these younger children and stuff, just without the facial expressions that they're seeing, without this and that in their life, that they're already looking at developmental issues with them. And you know, how is that going to affect people down the road? It's an interesting thought and concept, but you know, it's one of the things is you know, now is the time to do what you're told. Well, we've been given a lot of instructions. You know, and it's the time where we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. We need to be spending time in prayer. There's so many things that are going on right now, and I talk to a lot of people that they're in just complete and total despair, and they're worried about things. Now is the time to smile at the future. I mean, God doesn't work when he's the majority, when it's, you know, 80% of the people for him and 20% of the people against him. God always works when he's the minority, when he's, you know, the least, and when he's the few. He had a few Gideon soldiers, you know, compared to the armies that they took on. That's the way that God works. And now is the time as we see our enemies making an uproar against us and fighting with us on so many different fronts. Now is the time that, you know, now is the time for the remnant to thrive. And, you know, we can do that in a lot of different areas. I know that, you know, this year was really encouraging for me just to see how many people, you know, popped up and started doing gardening and getting back into taking care of their health, doing things outside. The small, you know, family farms that popped up around here was just absolutely amazing and really encouraging to see. And people are getting back to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, they're starting to question, you know, the government, their governors and these mandates and this and that. And, you know, I find that really encouraging.
Jason, I couldn't agree with you more. I think as an individual, I think every Christian should be asking themselves and asking God, what can I do to help advance God's cause? What can I do to help honor the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? And, you know, and to advance his cause and be willing to do the little things. Whatever God tells you, like Jason was talking about gardening. If God tells you, plant a garden to feed your family and potentially maybe a couple of your neighbors, then you need to do it. And, you know, so we do need to be in prayer, and we need to be able to be willing to act on that subtle instruction that the Holy Spirit gives us, because if we don't act on that instruction, then we're not going to get the results that we want. And I understand, like, with the presidential election and stuff and all that stuff, how there's a lot of disappointment. I'm disappointed. But on the other hand, I still need to be willing to do the right thing and what God tells me to do. And I don't think it's fair that we ask the president to do all of our dirty work. I was just my I know these people, they're raising these calves, and the neighbor don't like it. So instead of going and talking to the couple about the amount of calves that they got on their property, is what she do. She gets a hold of the township. She calls the township, and then she goes and has the township do her dirty work for her. And so we got to be willing to do that. We got to be willing to do whatever it takes. And even if it seems silly, we got to do it. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, a couple torches and a couple clay pots, that probably sounded pretty foolish at one time, too.
I agree. Look at the results.
That's right. It brought the walls down, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Well, I think God's going to take us to that Red Sea predicament. Like Pastor Peter's always said, he said, at some point God will take the people to a point where they know that there's nothing else that can deliver them but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I believe that this situation is going to go to that point. I also think that the Bible says that the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs and scoffs at them as they make their plans. And I was looking at some scenarios yesterday. There's a scenario where it could be based on the awarding of the remaining six states' electoral votes, where it could be a tie, 269-269. At that point, it goes to the House of Representatives, and everybody says, oh, well, that's not good because they have the majority. Well, that's not how it works. In the Constitution, basically, each state gets one vote. And right now, we have 29 states as Republicans, and they have 21 states as Democrats. So they'd hate for that to happen. Plus, Nancy Pelosi would be the one that presides over it. So that, talk about God having a sense of humor. I'd love to see that, her having to preside over the vote that awards Donald Trump the presidency. But, you know, like I said, it's a spiritual warfare, and it's up to us. If we're not willing to put in the time to pray and to cry out and to ask God for grace and mercy and compassion, then I'm pretty sure why would he want to grant us that grace, mercy, and compassion?
Amen.
Yeah, if we're not willing to give him the credit, then is he willing to do it?
Exactly. But, yeah, you can see that already the president-elect, which is a joke, that's an office that they just came up with themselves, basically is already planning to steamroll what the Obamanation administration had done by a thousandfold. They're not going to take any chances of losing power again if they get power, but I don't believe that they will. But anyways, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a new bill that's already being circulated called the Banking for All Act. Basically, the definitions in the act are digital dollars, digital dollar wallets, member banks being required to open a digital account for every person in the United States, not even U.S. citizens, by the way. And what they're doing is they're just setting it up for the where they're going to pay a sustaining wage to every person in the United States. What they want to do is make it easy to dump money into these people's accounts so that they don't revolt against the things that are going on. What's that term? You guys know what it is. That's not a living wage. It's, I don't know. But anyways, a government allotment of funds per month or per week or whatever it is. So they're definitely not hiding what their plans are. It's kind of funny, too, when they say that they're going to target all of the Trump supporters and all of those that facilitated what he did for the last 3.5 years.
They will try. It's playing out as the age-old story of good versus evil, of the enemy that we read about all throughout the scriptures, you know, wanting
wanting to be God, wanting to make the rules, wanting to call the shots, wanting to be the master. And, you know, there is only one. I think of the Horace Greeley quote, you know, that you can't enslave a Bible reading people, either physically or spiritually. And so what is our enemy knows that. They believe that. And so what have they done? They've taken Bible reading, Bible teaching, time with God. They've taken that away from our society, for the most part. And so then you can enslave a people that don't read their Bible. That's sure what we're seeing. Romans 6 says that you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, that means that obedience. You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. And that's how it is. We are slaves. We are either slaves to sin or we're slaves to righteousness. And for those that, you've got Christians today don't even know what sin is. You know, how many times have we done that? We've talked about it, you know, being in a prayer group or a group of Judeo-Christians. And you start talking about sin, and they don't know. They don't want to know what it is. They're comfortable with the thief that steals, kills, and destroys, as opposed to the abundant life that Christ brings, that Christ offers. It's right there in the Word. You're slaves to the one whom you obey. Slaves to the one whom you obey. And we have that choice as to who we obey.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says over and over that there's nothing new under the sun. And I believe that to be true, especially with regards to the situation that we're in right now. And Amos 3:7 says that the Lord does absolutely nothing without first revealing his plans to the prophets. And when you look in the Bible, when you try to see what it is that's going on here, typically there's a story that replicates the situation that we're in. And I think if you read 1 Kings chapter 1, it's hard to deny that this is basically what we see playing out right now. It says in 1 Kings 1:5, "Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.'" Now you could rewrite that and say, "Now Biden, the son of the devil, exalted himself, saying he would be president." Anyways, I encourage you to read that story. And one of the things that's encouraging is how this son of King David had lifted himself up and appointed himself as king, basically because King David was so old and feeble that he thought that he couldn't do anything to stop him trying to take the throne that was given to Solomon as per God's instructions to King David. And how quickly things changed when basically King David was renewed with strength, energy, vigor, and vitality, and took action. And the action that he took was to install the proper king, Solomon, and anoint him as the king and set him in the throne. And I think it's a very powerful story with regards to the situation that we're going through right now. And the other thing that was... It's kind of strange. You send those kind of things out to people. You know, I send quite a few things to a lot of people. And the fact that very few, like almost none, could get it, could understand. What are you talking about? Even pastors. I sent it to a couple of pastors. In fact, one of the pastors told me, take him off his list. And I said, okay.
Right.
Wish granted.
That's right. Don't confuse him with the truth of the Scripture. You know that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're at as a people, is this scripture to most of them, even those pastors you're talking about, to most of them, they're just stories. They're just stories. They're just, you know, lessons and parables and stories, and they don't see this word as truth. They just don't.
Well, they got demon rats in their congregations that support them. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And if they brought something out like this, that then they would lose their support and possibly their churches, because a lot of these are smaller pastors that actually probably own the church and have mortgages and everything else, the things that God told them not to do. What do you think, Paul? I haven't heard nothing from you this morning.
Sorry, I fell asleep. No, I'm kidding you. No, you've had good conversations. It's all accurate, so I don't really have too much to contribute to this other than that. It is interesting days.
Amen. Absolutely. Exciting times to be living in these days, for sure.
Well, you know, like you send that stuff to those people, you know, the Word of God is the end of the matter. When it says it, you know, it's the end of the matter. And they just want to ignore it and, you know, maintain status quo, you know. Kind of a pitiful place to be, actually.
That it is. And they don't. They just don't realize it. You know, they don't realize it. I remember Pastor teaching on, you know, never again will you rely on the one who strikes you. And that's what the people are doing today. They don't realize it, but they have the faith in that, in the lies that they're told.
Well, look what they allow. You know, thou shalt not kill. Now, there's not, abortion is not even a debatable issue, but it says thou shalt not kill. That's the end of the matter. But then they start reasoning with each other, and you reason with a fool, you'll become a fool. So, you know, take prayer out of school. We'll just go home. That's a good place. You know, we cannot maintain Babylon. It's just not glued together right.
No.
Amen to that. She's coming down.
You can see that they're continuing to try to lock down the country, probably so that they don't have to deal with the accusations of the voter fraud.
There seems to be a real deal of an escalation of COVID, in which that's what it is. I had two people last week tell me, you know, they got stressed out, got cold, and they went home, and, you know, and they went and tested, they had COVID. But that's common when you get stressed out that you get something. But if you just stayed home and took some lemon juice or whatever else you needed, some and just rested, it'd probably just go away, you know. But they're making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting yesterday. Elon Musk, basically proving a point, went to a clinic and was tested four times in one day, and two tests for corona came back positive and two negative. So he's just trying to expose, you know, the hypocrisy and the whole thing. But more and more you can see that this is a plandemic, to usher in the Antichrist New World Order. And they're going to take it to the limit with regards to that. I think their goal is just to destroy our country into a third world country and then rebuild it the way that they want, with that guaranteed income, I guess is what it's called.
Yeah, who's going to produce anything? You know, that's the thing. Everybody got this paper money in their bank account, and, you know, the store shelves are getting thinner by the week. You know, they got a huge amount of numbers in their bank account, and they have nothing to buy.
Yeah, well,
that's funny. What's backing those numbers in the bank account? There's not
nothing.
Even debt backing those numbers. As well, I mean, this,
not anymore.
You're talking a hyperinflation situation, a recipe for hyperinflation. I mean, what difference does it make? But there again, then I think it'll come back down to the product. If, like, Paul, your dad told me during the Depression, he was like, he said, I had what people needed. And he said, it, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience, but he had the product. And that's what got him through the Great Depression. And it's going to come back down, what do you have? And, Paul, you alluded to it, well, people ain't going to be willing to produce anything. You know, you always got to look at the other side of it. Well, this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity. Well, now I got to get into the commodity business because people are going to need certain things. They're going to need shelter, heat, and food. Well, I think you're smart enough to produce one of those three somehow with your own hands. So, I mean, it's just all in a perspective how you look at stuff. You can, I mean, it's going to be an opportunity to somebody that's willing to put in the legwork with the basic income package that they come up with. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, Pastor Peter's always said that, they, you know, they'll never get our guns unless they starve the people, and at some point people will trade their guns in order to feed their children. I mean, the smart ones have made provisions so that they don't have to get to that predicament, but the bottom line is that's probably what their plan is.
Well, we got to remember, Israel was fed manna for 40 years. That could be done again. That's where our faith comes in. You know, because you get stored food and all this stuff ain't going to get you through, and need guns, you know. Everybody should go down on the Capitol lawn there with a Bible in their hand. They'd probably get further when they come in here with an AR-7 or whatever else they use, you know.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. Well, guys, let's try the phone. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Suzanne Papalia from New York.
Good morning, Miss Suzanne.
I was just listening, and I totally agree with what John had to say there. I personally have visited East Germany before the wall came down, and I was old enough to realize what was going on and how it was totally different from West Germany at that time. And when my mom passed away, she was from there and had three sisters left there, which we visited. When my mom, before she passed away, she said the wall wasn't high enough. She passed away in 98, so that was 8 years after the wall was taken down. Her sisters were so upset about what she had said that they didn't come to her funeral. So you see how one generation was already changed in their thinking and beliefs, right? They were total communists.
Right.
And what we are seeing here now, and I'm seeing it, I've been seeing it for the last 31 years that I'm here in this country, and I am a citizen, and I thank God for that. What I'm seeing is deja vu in my eyes, because I've seen West Germany being taken down and broken down into pieces, and it's the same thing going on here. And what we are seeing now is the wall is being built. And I don't mean a wall at the south border. Our country,
right.
A wall is being built, the imaginary wall. We can't go no place. We can't do nothing. It is the laws that are building the wall around all of us and keeping us away from our God. That's what the deal is. So,
amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Suzanne.
God bless you.
God bless.
I think that was a brilliant way with the way she put that.
Yep.
Well, there's somebody there. There's somebody who's got firsthand experience. You know what I mean? One generation, you can see two, three, you can start losing focus, but that lady's seen it firsthand, you know, from her mother. You know, there's nothing like that. You know, I went to a meeting one time. It was a farm meeting and stuff, and this meatpacker out of Detroit was there, and he was a Jew, and he was telling all the thing about it, but one thing he said that was so profound, he escaped the prison camps, I think, seven times in Germany. He said, this is what he said, exactly what he said, and I have a witness. He says that Jew thing was made up after the war, because when this went on, he says whether you're for the government or against the government was what it was. And if you were against the government, they threw you that prison camp, and probably all them dead people were probably Germans, not Jews. Probably.
The resistance, yeah. And even in Canada, they're not even hiding the fact that they're building these. I don't know if you saw the deadlines that they set forth, basically to have these detainment camps, these basically re-education camps set up by December of this year. And they pulled out all the stops, spending tons of money to build these things. And so this is not just here in the United States. This is a global attempt of the Antichrist to take over the world. And the sad thing is not many people can see that. The other thing is, you know, God makes things simple. And I think the simple way to look at this is, if you have faith, then fear can't be present. And if you have fear, then faith can't be present. And that's what they try to do. They try to keep you in fear so that you can't have the faith. Because without the faith, there's no power. There's no power of the Holy Spirit. There's no belief in the fact that God said, greater things than this you shall do. And that's they're masters at that, of keeping us in fear.
Yes.
But even now, even those people who say they have faith that God's going to deliver us from this situation, this and that, they still waver constantly. And I just say, Lord Jesus, help our unbelief and strengthen our faith. You know, give us more Holy Spirit. Help us to hear you, the Lord. And when we do, to be obedient, because it's going to be the most critical thing in the days ahead, is to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If he says go one way, you go one way. He says go the other way, you go one way. If he says retreat to the mountains, you retreat to the mountain. Whatever it is that the Lord says to do, that we need to be obedient to that and trust that whatever it is, he'll open the doors that we need open and close the doors that we need closed.
He always has. Excuse me. He always has. You know, whether the situation is one like Joseph, where, hey, you've got so many years to prepare for these bad years, some people have been directed that way. Or as was mentioned earlier, if you have to go on a 40-year journey and you can be fed and your clothes won't wear out and you'll prosper and grow as a people, if that's how it has to be, we've got that story as well, and that example, that's how our God is. He can do those things, and he has done those things, and he will continue to do those things if that's what his will is.
Yeah, Jason, you can probably speak to what's going on with the ammo shortages. I was up in the mountains here last week, and we stopped at several small arms suppliers, basically bait and tackle and hunting supplies, and they had zero ammunition, no caliber, zero. And spoke to one of the ladies who was there and kind of shared some truth about the word, and she was a Christian as well, and she was saying how encouraging it was to see men come in that, you know, have the faith in God and the promises that he's given us. And anyway, she said that she had an order in since August for ammunition, and she does not expect to see it till probably the second month in 2021, if at all. So I don't know what have you seen, Jason? Is it ammo pretty much?
Oh, pretty much unobtainable right now. You can't get it. I mean, and there's people that are out there that are going out there that are buying guns, and they're buying guns that they can't even get ammo for. I mean, you know, basically it's, anything that's a common round, non-existent, especially, up in Wyoming, there's been a few places that have had it hit and miss, but like, the store owners up there are saying that they've had it on order forever. They had, continuous orders. They had auto shipment that they were supposed to get so much every month. But you know, a store can get something in and they'll be sold out in 15 minutes. The gun shops down here in Fort Collins, the same way. They're just basically, they can't get anything. They can't get guns, or they can't get ammo. As soon as they have stuff show up, they've got a waiting list. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's even as far as the online gun suppliers, same deal. You know, they're sold out of just about everything, taking back orders on stuff. And the only way that you can get something is you get on a waiting list. Gun parts, same deal. Triggers, trigger groups, AR-15 parts, barrels, you name it, it's hard to get. So,
yeah, a lot of that's the demand for all of that. But obviously, I believe that they're trying to slow down the flow of ammunition as well, which is concerning when you're practicing and you know you're burning up some of that precious ammo that you have. But then again, it's just as important to be proficient.
Amen. And you know, Jason, it's I couldn't help but think when you were talking about that, you warned everybody. You, Jason, warned everybody about that a year ago, talking about how guns were available and ammo was available, and
it was cheap.
And it was cheap. It was not exorbitant prices, and that was the time to buy. I remember you telling everybody that. And, you know, I think that ties in with, hey, when you have a word, and no, it wasn't a word directly from the Lord, but I believe it was a word from the Lord through Jason to tell you, to remind the people, hey, and we've been doing that for years, to tell you to be prepared, to be prepared. Be a good Boy Scout. That used to be the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. Physically, as much as you're able to, but more importantly, spiritually, of course. But you can't ignore the physical part of it. You know, just like we have to worship God, how? In truth and spirit. You've got some that understand the Anglo-Israel message. They understand the truth of who the remnant is, of where they came from, and that they are the descendants of the Israelites, the Hebrew people of the Bible. That's not the whole equation, though. That's part of it. That's part of it. And our pastor brought that out many times. We have to worship in that truth, but also in spirit. And I think in preparing, you know, it was mentioned earlier, hey, you know, we have an obligation to prepare, to provide for our families. That includes providing safety for them. And so if you've waited till now, if you haven't been aware till now, it's tough out there. It's tough to find ways to protect your family in the physical out there. It is. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold or bullets or ARs, I'll add. That's not what redeems us. Now, nothing wrong, as the Bible says, with having silver or gold, and there's certainly nothing wrong with having ammo or AR-15s. It's just that's not where our redemption is. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And that's first and foremost where what we rest on, what we lean on, and what we want to get across to you that are tuning in and listening, that it is that blood of Christ first and foremost that saves. That redeems his people from the pit. Now, what you do after that, see, that's where the rest of this comes in, is what you do with that saving grace, what you do with that redemption. Read about that in Romans, that, you know, you who are you obedient to? It's obedience. That's where the righteousness comes from. That's what the Word says.
Yeah, amen. I don't know if you saw in Florida, Governor DeSantis basically is passing a law that allows homeowners to shoot looters and business owners. Obviously, that law is not the same in Seattle. It says, I don't know if you saw this story. I just saw this morning, but there's a 21-year-old BLM activist arrested Sunday afternoon for arson and burglary after she broke into seven homes in affluent Leechy neighborhood of Seattle and attempted to light them on fire. She was released the next day, even though the people who were perpetrated by these acts had security video, surveillance video, and so I think it's telling on what their plans are. I honestly think what will happen is that this election will be overturned. President Trump will receive a second term, and then all hell's going to break loose, and then it'll probably go to martial law, and at that point it's how do we trust in what the president's doing, or don't we? Because that could just as easily be a communist takeover. I brought a message, I don't know, probably a year ago with regards to this exact scenario that we're facing right now. I don't know if you remember that, but
yeah, the ways of man. You know, who knows?
That's funny too. Minneapolis was defunding the police, you know, and they cut their budgets and everything, and now they just passed like an emergency $500,000 infusion of money to hire officers from surrounding departments because the whole city's gone crazy.
Yeah, the lawlessness that is, and I say good. It's good because it hopefully will continue to open the eyes of the people that are asleep to what is actually going on. The hypocrisy.
Yeah, we have to pray for our people. We have to pray for our people that are in the cities, though. Suzanne is in the city, and there's
absolutely
more that are the remnant that are in the cities that are not in the ideal situation, but I know that they have faith and trust in the Lord, and
amen,
God will protect them. I was actually up in the mountains, like I said, last weekend, and driving through the areas where the fires ravaged. Basically, it grew 100,000 acres in one day, one of the fires up there around Grand Lake. And, boy, you see a lot of foundations and chimneys. But the interesting thing is there'll be a foundation and a chimney, and right next to it there'll be a house that isn't even scorched. You know, who knows what the situation is. I think I do. But the bottom line is God protects those that are his and those that trust in him.
That's right. That's right. And many times we saw the same thing, John, with the fires here, that many of the homes that weren't burned, they were prepared. They were prepared. The homeowner had prepared physically, and you could almost be guaranteed that they were prepared spiritually as well. But not just spiritually, but physically as well. Prepared for what was coming. And when you're prepared, you're not surprised. Just like the Word tells us, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, as if it were something strange. They come upon us for our testing. It's the way things are. And we know that we can get through them through Christ who strengthens us.
Well, we're calling upon all those that are his to fast and pray from noon today to noon tomorrow, and cry out for grace and mercy and compassion and God's wrath, and that he finds us worthy to escape the things that are coming. That's what his word says we're to do. So,
amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We thank you, the remnant, for tuning in. And as John said, we're calling for a fast, fasting and praying. You can't go wrong with that. And so if you're able to do that, if you're not physically able to fast, pray. You can pray. And the Word tells us to pray without ceasing. And of course, that means to be praying in the Spirit, to have, you know, to have the eyes and to see what is going on, and to lift up the needs and the cares and the concerns to our Heavenly Father. And so we do, we're calling for, as John said, a prayer and fast between noon today and noon tomorrow. And we also want to invite you to church tomorrow. And you can join us at scriptures4america.org starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That'll be 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a timeless pulpit truth for you. We'll have a live message. We'll have communion. And again, it gives you the opportunity. Don't forego the opportunities that are presented to you. And this gives you an opportunity, Remnant, to gather with like-minded believers, to step away from the world and the mess that the world is in, and to hear the Word of God preached, and to partake of communion. And so we hope you'll join us there. Well, men, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling,
rolling,
rolling, keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Roll them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out. Head them off. Head them off. Move them out. Move them out. Head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.